Mishnah Yomis for Thursday, the second day of Elul Tovshin Pei Dalad. Masech de Baba Kama, Perek Shmini, Mishnah Zayin. Aval Pishahu Noisen Loi, even though the Mazik has given to the Nizik the payment compensation for Nezek, for the damage and his value, for the pain, for the medical bills, even though he's paid all the monetary compensation, Einoi Nimchol Loi Ad Sheivakish Menu, he's not forgiven for what he has done to the person until he asks forgiveness for the pain, for the embarrassment. Shenamar, as it says, V'ata hoshev eshes, and now return the woman. This is, of course, talking about Avimelech, who was told by Hashem to return the woman that he had taken hostage, that is Sarah. And he says, now return the man, return the wife of the man, because he's a Navi and he'll daven for you. So we see that Avimelech was not yet forgiven until he asked from Avraham that he should be moichel him and daven for him. From here we learn that the person who did the embarrassing has to ask mechila, has to ask forgiveness for the one who was embarrassed. Uminayin shelo yehei hamoichel achzori. Where do you know that the person who has the ability to give forgiveness should not be cruel and withhold forgiveness? Shenemar vayispalel Avraham el ha'elokim. It says that Avram davened to Hashem, and Hashem healed Avimelech. So we see that he davened to Hashem. Now, you could say that maybe Avram Avinu did this, maybe he acted beyond the letter of the law. Maybe one doesn't really have to forgive. But that's not true. Why? Because if it's not really a mitzvah to forgive, and it's only something with beyond the letter of the law, then the Torah should have said that he forgave him, just like the Torah tells us that Avraham Avinu acted so nicely that he went beyond the call of duty to daven for him. So if he went beyond the call of duty to daven for him, and the Torah says that, if forgiveness would have also been beyond the call of duty, then it should have stated that. And the fact that the Torah doesn't say that tells us that there is a mitzvah, it's an incumbent to forgive and not to be cruel, not withhold forgiveness. Ha'omer, one who says to his friend, Samei Seini, K'tas Yodei, Shvoris Ragli, he says, blind me, chop my hand off, break my foot. And his friend does that. Chayev, the person who does this is chayev to pay for all monetary damages resulting from that. Why? Because even though the person asked for it, he said, blind me, and he said, cut my hand off, he didn't really want that at all. And the friend should not have listened to him at all. And even if the person who asked him to do that to him, the injured person, said, I'm a nos lifter, he says, on condition that, you know, you can do it and you won't have to pay me anything. You'll be potter, you'll be exempt, I won't take you to court, nothing. Still chayev, he's still obligated to pay it. Why? Because people do not normally moichel. They don't normally forgive the pain of their body. And we say he didn't really mean it seriously when he said, I'm a nos lifter. Now, that's one pshat. There is another pshat, and this is based on the Gemara, that learns what the Mishnah means here by Amanos Lifter is that the person who inflicted the damage or was given the challenge said to the person who was injured, Amanos Lifter? In a questioning form. Amanos Lifter? If I do it to you, will I be potter? Will you not take me to court? Will I be exempt? And the person answered, Hen. He said, yes. Then we say that the person who did injury is chayev. Why? Because we assume that the person, that the injured person, said to him, Hain, as if to say, Hain, you think you're going to be potter? And really he meant not. But if the person himself, the nechbal, the person who was injured, said, you can do it and you'll be potter, then the person who did the injury will be potter. And that's how these learn the Mishnah. So we have a machlokes hatol in the Mishnah. As we said before, the first way of learning it is Amanos Lifter was said by the person who was injured, and he's still chayev. And the second explanation is, no, if the person who was injured said that, he will be potter. We're talking about where the person doing the injury asked him, will I be potter, Amanos Lifter? And the fellow answered somewhat ambiguously this word, hain, and that's why he's chayev. Kras ksusi, shvaris gadi. What happens if the person says to his friend, you can tear my suit, you can break my pitcher, and the fellow did so, chayev, he'll be chayev to pay. But if he says, I'm an oslifter, if the person says, break my things, break my equipment, and you'll be potter, I won't hold you responsible. Then he is potter. Why? Because a person can be moichel his money. It's not so out of the question to be moichel injury, you know, bodily injury, etc. That's very unusual. But to be and that we can say he didn't mean seriously. But if the person says it in regards to his monetary things, then yes. Now the Gemara adds and says that these words that the fellow said, I'm an oslifter, you can break my equipment and you'll be potter, these words only required to be said in the case of a shomer. Our Mishnah is talking about a case, in other words, where the equipment came to the hands of a shomer. He was already guarding it or borrowing it. And then the owner says, oh, you know, the car that I've lent you, you can smash it up. Or he says, the suit that I lent you, you can tear it down. You can get rid of it, it's fine. And then we say, he has to add the words, almanos lifter. He has to say, yeah, you can smash the car, you can tear the garment, and I won't hold you responsible. That's why he has to add those words. Why does he have to add those words, almanos lifter? Because since this article or this equipment came to the person, the shomer, as a shmira, he had a duty of care over it, then we say that if he just says tear it or smash it, it's not freeing him from payment. Carrying it and smashing it, whatever you do, but you'll still be have to pay, is what he meant. And that's why the Mishnah emphasizes almanos lifter, that he added those words, and you will be exempt from payment, from paying compensation. If, however, this equipment, this car or this suit, this machine, never came to the shomer as a responsibility, as a duty of care. It was, let's say, at the time he handed over the car with the keys and he said, oh, take it and you can smash it up, but don't worry about it. You don't have to say don't worry about it. You don't have to say I'm an oslifter. If he says that, then it's automatically understood that he will be potter because he never was a shomer over it. There was never a duty care to start off with. And this is because it says, Ki yitein ish al re'eyo, when a man will give his friend kesef or kelim lishmoir, when he gives it to him for guarding, for a duty of care, then he's chayev, unless the owner expressly absolves him of any obligation. Continues the Mishnah, one who says to his friend, I say kain lish plani, I want you to do this to the guy over there who lives next door. And he says, I'm an oslifter. He says, and you won't have to pay anything. Don't worry, you'll be free of any compensation. I want you to get that guy's property, you know, smash it up. And even if he tells him, you can smash up the other guy's car or whatever, and I'll pay, I'll take care of it. In all these cases, if the fellow obeys his instruction, stupidly obeys it, chayev, we say the shliach is liable for anything he does, any harm he causes the third party. Ben begufo, ben bemamone. Whether it's he was told to blind the other fellow, knock his hand off, or whether ben bemamone, whether it's a matter of injuring or harming his property, tearing his equipment down or breaking them. And why is that? That's because of the rule, ein shliach l'dvar avera. There is no such thing as a shliach, as an agent, to carry out something where the person who sent him will get the avera. No. If a person does the avera, he gets punished. He is liable for it, not the person who sent him to do it. Nevertheless, the Rambam writes, the fellow who sent him to do it, although he's not chayiv to pay, but morally, it's a terrible thing to do. He's called a rosha. He's called a shutef in sin, accomplice in crime. He's called because he has trapped another Jewish person, and he laid a trap for him, and he's considered a rosha. Mishnah Perek Shmini Mishnah Aleph. We move into the Perek of Hagozel Eitzim. This is a chapter that deals with the laws of Gezela, rather than Geneva. What's Gezela? Gezela, when a person steals someone's property by force. He snatches it out of his hand, or he enters the fellow's property without permission, and he takes equipment from there. Or he just grabs hold of someone in broad daylight, he takes hold of someone's animal, or his aved, and so forth. This is a din of a gazlan. The gazlan has to pay and give back the gezela, give the actual item. He gives it back to him. There's no kafel to be paid. It's simply the principal that has to be paid. That's if the gzeila is around, if the gzeila is intact and hasn't been changed. If, however, the gzeila, the article that was stolen, has been changed, then we'll see in our Mishnah that there's a concept of being koina it, that the gazan actually acquires ownership over it, and instead of giving the item back, he gives the value of the item as it was at the time of the gzeila. Says the Mishnah. How goes the leitzim? Person steals someone timber. Vason kelim, and he turned it into, manufactured it into some furniture. Tzemer, he stole someone's wool. Vasoi begotim, and he made some garments with it. Meshalim kishas gzeila, he pays the value of the item as it was, i.e. the timber, the raw timber, or the wool, as it was the time he stole it. And he's not obligated to give back this equipment because he has done an act to change the form, to call it, it's called a shinu maisa, and that change, that shinu maisa, is now, gives him the ownership over it. He's koinat. The Gemara adds, however, that the type of change that took place or must take place is one that's irreversible. If, however, it's something reversible, for example, he stole someone timber and he put it together, made a cupboard, but the cupboard could easily be disassembled, right, or pull out the nails. Since you could return the wood as it was, that's not called a shinui. It's not termed a shinui, which will make him koinat. And even if he does do an steals the timber and he can't, and it is irreversible, he's treated the timber in such a way you can't give back the pieces as they are. But if there's no name change in what the finished product is, then again it's not considered a shinui. Has to be a shinui, a name. Now it's a cupboard, or now it's something else. It's got a different name. Gozal parah mubaras v'yolda. He stole a pregnant cow and it gave birth in his property while it was stolen. Rochel tuna. He stole a ewe, a female sheep that was full of wool. Ugzaza, and he sheared it. Sheared the wool off it. Meshalim d'mei parah haymeres leled. He pays the value of a cow that was about to give birth, or d'mei rochel haymeres tegozes, or the value of a ewe that's about to be shorn. In other words, he gives back the actual cow itself, or the ewe itself. Why? Because birth itself, or shearing the wool itself, is not called a shinui, is not called a change in the body of the cow and the rochel. It's not a change sufficient enough to give the gazlon ownership. It's not koina. However, the wool that's off the back of the sheep and the child, the offspring that's been born from the animal, that the gazlan is koina with the shinui. And what he does is he gives back the animal without the wool, the sheep without the wool. He gives back the cow without the fetus inside, the cow that's given birth. But he has to add an amount of money which would be equal to the difference between how much is a pregnant cow worth and how much is the cow now worth after birth without the child? How much is the wool that was the ewe worth with its wool on its back, and how much now without the wool? And that difference in price, that's what he gives. He has to give to the nigzel, to the person who he stole from. Most Mefarshim learn this way, that the gazel is not koin of the cow and not koin of the rochel just by birth or the shearing. The Rosh says, yes, he is koin it. That's a minority opinion, but that's what the Rosh holds. Gozal poro v'nisabro etzlo v'yolda. What happens if he stole a cow that was not pregnant, but during the period that it's under his property, in his ownership, it became, well, not ownership, but while he's got it, it became pregnant, and it gave birth, v'yolda. Or Rochel, he stole someone's ewe, v'nitana etzlo, and became laden with wool by him. Ugzaza, and then he shored, he had shorn all the wool off. Here we have a shinui, even as far as the cow and the ewe is concerned, because he stole a cow that was not pregnant, became pregnant and gave birth, or the rochel that became full of wool. So he does not have to give the articles themselves back. He doesn't give the cow back because he's koina the cow. He doesn't give the ewe back because he's koina the ewe. But Meshalim kishas gzeila, All he has to do is he has to pay the value of that cow as it was before it was stolen, at the time of the robbery, before it was pregnant. How much the ewe was worth before it started growing the wool. And whatever increased in value from the time of the gzela and onwards, that he keeps. He keeps. Now, the truth is that the same halacha would apply if it didn't give birth, or if it hasn't shorn again. The same halachas that we said, it would be considered a shinui, he would be able to keep it. But Mishnah talks about giving birth already and having the wool shorn off, shorn, because that's what we had in the Reisha. Ze'aklal concludes the Mishnah. This is the rule. Kol ha-gazlonim meshalmin kishas ha-gzeil. All robbers will pay the way it is, the way that the article they stole was worth at the time of the robbery. And the Gemara explains that usually when you have ze'aklal, it comes to include something. And here also it includes a case which has not been mentioned. He stole a lamb and it turned and it became, it matured into a ram. He stole a calf and it turned into matured to become an ox. Then he stole it, then he sold it or slaughtered it. Would he be behaved to pay the extra two and three, the extra two for a sheep or the extra three for an ox? And the answer is no. Why? Because the shinui took place in his hand while it was under him. That's called a sufficient enough shinui, a change in the animal to acquire it. And therefore, when he slaughtered or sold it, he was slaughtering or selling his own animal because he had now acquired ownership. And he simply would have to pay the value of the lamb that it was at the time of the gzela, or the calf the way it was at the time of the gzela.